long hard days. They don't say God's changed my ways, changed my ways, those evil ways. So I set out across that way to strike them down, to make them pay and change their ways, their evil ways. But I can't.
How blessed we are. There are many, many tough places out there. Having said that, not all tough places are the same. They each present a different set of challenges. It reminds me, you would know this as a bit of an aside, but in terms of how you think about problem sets, when I was a cadet, what's the cadet motto at West Point? You will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we stole. It's like we had entire training courses. It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment. And so
back to John's point, you know, how many times you have to hear that before you realize, really, why would you believe anything this man ever says? I mean, listen to how glib and cavalier he is. I don't understand how anyone can believe a word he says after that. So we're talking about Iran today, and the entire situation is beyond ridiculous. You know, when you go through the laundry list of points, you know, I did that in the first segment. How many times has Iran, you know, it's all ridiculous. And there is no good guy in the discussion. People get confused. They don't understand the dynamics and the nuances. People are being played off against each other, and I think it's Pike's letter. You know, again, just to recap, the top four reasons why. People say, why? You know, it doesn't make sense. Well, this is my list, but I think it makes sense. Four is oil, natural resources, predominantly oil. Three is the New Silk Road. Two, power and control, to which three and four are subordinate. And number one, Pike's letter. Destabilizing the world, the satanic agenda to do that. I know it sounds crazy, but you know what? If you understand that, if everybody knew, if everybody read that and really sort of internalized it and then watched what is happening, it seems to make a lot of sense. Have we had the nihilists and the atheists unleashed on us in America? I mean, again, I intend to go through the Frankfurt School. I think, you know, consequential differences in timing, that's always a big thing. I've mentioned it. I always think of Jaron Lanier's words from You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto in particular. But guys like Andrew Breitbart, you know, he had a marvelous way of articulating this issue and the way the Frankfurt School was unleashed, you know, and they were nihilists and atheists. They were the anti-establishment types who wanted to raise society, R-A-Z-E, burn it all down. And Andrew Breitbart had a brilliant way of encapsulating all of that. And that's happening more and more, you know, as we spread freedom and democracy, which is an age-old strategy. And again, you know, people don't understand why. Why was Edward Bernays approached with that message? So just looking at all the things that have happened, you know, the big lie of history, Patrick Claussen, we'll get to him. Speaking of lies and liars, Mike Pompeo, holy cow. Regime change, Operation Ajax, you know, the 53 coup is a big one that we hear about. Want to get to some of that, you know, the fish. You don't usually want to talk to the fish, but some fish are more astute than others. We'll get to one astute fish here in a little bit. Wes Clark, we should get to that. You know, the, again, greater Israel, greater Middle East. Who wants to remake the Middle East? You know, four-star general Wes Clark says, these guys are saying that the military is to do that, turn the Middle East upside down, make it under our control. We have, you know, 1991, the Soviet Union collapses. We have 5 or 10 years to clean up these old Soviet client regimes. Wolfie Chaney Rummy kind of stuff. Again, the Iranian directorate, stovepiping intel. Operations like what John and I talked about, Stuxnet, those kinds of things. You know, there are, again, low-intensity operations. There's Color Revolution. That stuff's been done. Sam Gardner saying what he said. On and on the list goes. Patrick Claussen, though, you know, preventing an Iranian nuclear breakout. I think what I want to do is I'll just throw some of the stuff out there and we'll just do that. Just crash through it. Bud Tarpley talking about Frank Kitson, that's probably a good one to play. We should do that. We will do that. Frank Kitson. The Web Tarpley, the war on terror is a fraud. It is not meant to be won. It is meant to be continuous. Go ahead, please.
Of a U.S. war on terrorism is simply a fraud. There is no war on terrorism. The Anglo-Americans are backing terrorists exactly when and where it suits them, from Chechnya to Cuba to other points around the world. This is a typical British strategy. You've got to know the name of Brigadier General Sir Frank Kitson. He was the British operations officer in Kenya at the time of the Mau Mau. And what Kitson saw, which has been known to commanders for centuries, millennia, if you've got an underground nationalist organization and you want to discredit them, you create your own parallel underground nationalist organization. You send them out. It's got to have the same name. It's got to have a false flag. You send them out, have it commit tremendous atrocities. Those will be blamed on the original, relatively benign group, and they'll be discredited, they'll be demonized, and you gain political advantage. He wrote a book about it called Low Intensity Operations. And the technique is called the technique of the counter-gang or the pseudo-gang. Just as Al-Qaeda, in the broader sense, is a pseudo-gang or counter-gang created by U.S. and British and Israeli intelligence. It's a counter-gang against normal Arab nationalists or anybody with any positive agenda for reform or independence or development anywhere in the Arab world. They can always be labeled Al-Qaeda. The reductio ad absurdum of this is President Chavez of Venezuela, after giving Bush a hard time at various conferences and doing things to undermine the dollar, the neocons are now accusing President Chavez of being a member of Al-Qaeda. So you can see how easy it is to demonize somebody once you've got a good counter gang going. There's an oligarchical consensus in the United States, inspired by the neocons, inspired by Samuel Huntington and the rest of them, which is that without an enemy image, you cannot have an oligarchical society. Ultimately, that's the why. Because if you look at this, you say, terrorism, endless war, why, who benefits? Those who benefit are the beneficiaries of the current system, financiers primarily. They feel that without the diversion of a war, they cannot maintain social relations, property relations in the current form. And this they are determined to do. So they have manufactured, in a complete hysteria, a largely fictitious external enemy. You remember 1984 by George Orwell. Julia at one point says, I don't even think there is a war. It's just a fake to keep people under control. Orwell, I think, had a very good understanding of some of these psychological mechanisms.
Yeah. There's so much to say on that. You know, again, Taliban tried to surrender, and the U.S. rebuffed them. Now here we are. Ryan Grimm's 2017 article. You know, I don't even think there is a war. Yeah. It's imperative for people to understand how crucial that aspect is that Web Tarpley addressed. Just getting that puts things like Peter Brooks on Iran attack, Iran regime threw the first punch, victimizes its own people. We keep hearing about that. Oh, he gasses his own people, except he doesn't. Where does he get it? On the Gladio caches of weapons that work and the weapons that don't work that the CIA gives people so they can set you up, you know, the props, so that when, you know, look, he was armed. Anyway, again, intrigue and deception. So, you know, we always hear that kind of, I mean, who is that stupid to believe, you know? I mean, if we're going to take things at face value, Iran threw the first punch. I just don't know how, even if we pretend what we hear in the mainstream media is legitimate, fact-based in any way, I don't know how you can make that leap, which gets back to John's point, which gets back to why I played, you know, in part why we played the Web Tarpley clip. You know, speaking of reductio ad absurdum and what John was talking about, Iran being blamed for them, but, you know, why is that any different? Because still to this day, you can go and see the fact that J. Michael Springman says, I was, you know, I watched these guys all get through the Jeddah consulate. I tried to prevent it. 15 of 19 alleged hijackers were Saudis. Well, I mean, you know, came through the Jeddah consulate. Did we turn Saudi Arabia into a glass parking lot, as they say? Why not? Iraq had nothing to do with September 11, 2001. Speaking of stovepiping intel, 1,000 times weapons of mass destruction. Joe Wilson wrote the book, What I Didn't Find. And, you know, yet it happens over and over and over again. Some more entries. We'll just keep going with this. Noam Chomsky, The War on Terror. Here it is, a couple of clips. Quickly, go ahead, please.
This war on terrorism should always be used in quotes, because there can't possibly be a war on terrorism. It's impossible. The reason is it's led by one of the worst terrorist states in the world. In fact, it's led by the only state in the world which has been condemned by the highest international authorities for international terrorism, namely the World Court, Security Council, except that the U.S. vetoed the resolution. So we cannot even talk about a war on terrorism without self-ridicule. Whatever's going on, you can like it or you can hate it or whatever, but it's not a war on terrorism. It's some other thing.
There's been what's called a global war on terror. When it began, there's been one device to deal with it, sledgehammer. Smash them up. Don't find out what's going on. Smash them up. What's happened? 15 years ago, it was confined to a tiny tribal area in Afghanistan. Now it's all over the world. Every time you hit it with a sledgehammer, you expand it. Every single time. Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, everywhere. Can you learn something from that? Shall we say, okay, let's smash them up again because they all want to kill us? Yeah. That's one reaction. Another reaction is the sane reaction, which you do hear from people like who know something about the topic, like Scott Atran or like William Polk, well-known Middle East expert, long experience in the U.S. government, has pretty much the same proposals. You have to deal with the situation rationally if you want to be, first of all, humane, but even concerned with your own security.
Yeah.
I want to continue on this theme a little bit. You know, what John said, what Fred said, it's so important for people to understand. We are so steeped. We're just marinating in this war rhetoric, and people don't realize. I mean, war on terror, there is no such thing. It's like war on steroids, you know. We need to have a war on joy, a war on income and wealth and peace and, you know, those things. So we get more of it like we do with every other war on something. But this theme, you know, people don't realize, I guess, in America, you know, just how pervasive this issue is. And some folks have said it. There's one installment we'll play in a second. Patrick Bet David, think what you will about him, but I think he said it back in September of last year, actually, as well as it can be said. And the bottom line is, like he said, the more conflict in the Middle East, the more control, the more U.S., British, Israeli, Saudi control. And it really does come down to that. So, speaking of war, you know, war equals control, and therefore, you know, it's big business. It's sort of just subsumes everything else, and that's, you know, that sounds sensational, but George Friedman, Brain Bar Budapest, listen to this again. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Is a global war coming? Of course. There's never been a century that didn't have a global war. The 20th century you know about, 19th century is the Napoleonic Wars, 18th century was the Seven Years' War. We can go back and back and back and back. But if you don't think there's a global war coming, then you're saying that the 21st century is going to be the first century in which there isn't a global war. And I will bet against you any amount you want. In fact, global war, all war is sitting with you right now. It's sitting in your pocket. I present to you the iPhone. You've seen this. It carries such superb tools on it as YouTube and Tinder and all the essentials. And you guys are so cool that you know that this represents the future and makes you completely different because, well, you're cool. Let's talk about it. The foundation of this phone is a microchip. The microchip was developed to guide U.S. intercontinental ballistic missiles against Soviet targets. It had to have a small computer in it. It had to be very light. It had to be very accurate. And the microchip was the solution. And all of the weapons that we used during the Cold War to threaten the annihilation of humanity was built on the microchip. And you now use it today because it's cool.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
That's what it is. Take a look at the other thing. You have a camera in your phone, the digital camera. That was developed by the U.S. National Reconnaissance Office for spy satellites. Problem we had was that if you took regular pictures with film, how do you get them to Earth? So you had to have a way to take pictures of targets of various sorts that didn't require you to drop a Kodak film pack down to the Earth. Of course, that's what they did at the beginning. And they had to develop some sort of way to take pictures that could get back to Earth fast, just the way you send selfies to your mother or something. And that was the digital camera.
And so it goes. So George Friedman goes through the rest of the device, the iPhone, the global war sitting with you. And so, I mean, it's astonishing, you know, the way that works. The things that are, I mean, and we're not even getting into how enormous and monolithic this is. You know, you start looking at the consolidation from, you know, the accounting firms that aren't really accounting firms anymore, they're intelligence proxies, the big 7654, to the other elements of war that have been outsourced, you know, from think tanks to, you know, the work that Tim Sherrock and R.J. Hillhouse have done. And telling the story, I mean, we had intelligence agency. There's the, you know, the War Department. We don't have that anymore. We have a Pentagon and a Department of Defense. We don't even declare war anymore. We have an AUMF. What does that mean? And so the separation between people and the reality of this just continues to grow. You know, Patrick Porter's market security state point in full effect. So it's difficult to really even talk about the situation with Iran without it being utterly warped and distorted by these peripheral concerns. Anyway, we'll try to press on a little bit. I want to play one or two more of the entries, then we'll wrap up, get to the phones. We got to play the Patrick Claussen entry because Patrick Claussen is, you know, this is the one that, yeah, it's the quintessential. I mean, for those who don't know, it's 60 seconds or so, 60 to 90 seconds. And again, speaking of how glib bad guys are, no one is more glib than Patrick Claussen about the traditional way that America gets to war. I frankly think that crisis initiation is tough. Crisis initiation? You want to provoke a conflict? Oh, and then stand out of the way that Wes Clark talked about? Probably. Yeah. So here is Patrick Claussen on the traditional way America gets to war, including with Iran. Go ahead, please.
I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough. And it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran. Which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, that the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II, as David mentioned. You may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor. Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode. Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall he had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode. We didn't go to war with Spain until the USS, until the Maine exploded. And may I point out that Mr. Lincoln did not feel he could call out the Federal Army until Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander at Fort Sumter to do exactly that thing which the South Carolinians had said would cause an attack. So if, in fact, the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war.
And the crowd chuckles, kind of like they did when Pompeo said, "Ah, yeah, we lie all the time." So I'm, you know, again, I guess average American doesn't realize that there are folks like Patrick Claussen spoiling for this kind of thing. People in positions of power and influence. And it's been going on for quite a while. So why are we not talking about that?
You are tuned in to the
Republic
Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a
welcome back. Play a couple more, and we'll go back to the phones. Two more, and we'll leave it at that. So the little excerpt, I mean, this stuff, man, this is like kryptonite, plutonium, you know, Mark Wahlberg, shooter. This should be enough, but again, we're so steeped in this stuff, everyone's just so punch drunk from being pummeled by the propaganda for so long. Wes Clark, America's Foreign Policy Coup. This was the Commonwealth Club installment, not the Democracy Now! Installment from 2007. And this is 2.5 minutes. So Wes Clark talking about going all the way back to 1991, 7 countries in 5 years, that stuff. Go ahead, please.
was there in Washington. It was a Friday afternoon. I'd visited Colin Powell. He'd given me 5 minutes of his precious time and sent me on my way, and I was bored in the Pentagon, and I thought, I'll just go, who can I see? I think I'll see Wolfowitz. So I called, and up there, he was available. Scooter Libby came to the door. I met Scooter for the first time, and he brought me in, and I said to Paul, I said, and this is 1991, I said, Mr. Secretary, you must be pretty happy with the performance of the troops in Desert Storm. And he said, well, yeah, he said, but not really, he said, because the truth is we should have gotten rid of Saddam Hussein, and we didn't. And this was just after the Shia uprising in March of 91, which we had provoked, and then we kept our troops on the sidelines and didn't intervene. And he said, but one thing we did learn, he said, we learned that we can use our military in the region, in the Middle East, and the Soviets won't stop us. He said, and we've got about 5 or 10 years to clean up those old Soviet client regimes, Syria, Iran, Iraq, before the next great superpower comes on to challenge us. And it was like, you know, I'm coming out of the Mojave Desert. I've been training troops. I haven't been thinking geostrategy for some time. And suddenly a guy just sort of shoves this nugget at you. Well, you remember it. It was a pretty stunning thing. You mean the purpose of the military is to start wars and change governments? It's not to sort of deter conflict? We're going to invade countries? And, I, you know, my mind was spinning. And I put that aside. It was like a nugget that you hold on to. This country was taken over by a group of people with a policy coup. Wolfowitz and Cheney and Rumsfeld, and you could name a half dozen other collaborators from the Project for a New American Century. They wanted us to destabilize the Middle East, turn it upside down, make it under our control. It went back to those comments in 1991. Now, did anybody ever tell you that? Was there a national dialogue on this? Did senators and congressmen stand up and denounce this plan? Was there a full-fledged American debate on it? Absolutely not. And there still isn't. And that.
So there you go. I want to back that up so we get the 7 countries in 5 years. We didn't get that. But, I mean, that's a 4-star general telling you what happened. That's a first-hand account, boots on the ground. Astonishing. I want to get the, whatever it is, 30 seconds or something like that. 7 countries in 5 years, same thing. Here's a guy who saw, or heard, I should say. So here's the, whatever, 30 seconds of that. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
The Secretary of Defense's office, it says we're going to attack and destroy the governments in 7 countries in 5 years. We're going to start with Iraq, and then we're going to move to Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. I said, 7 countries in 5 years. I said, is that a classified memo? He said,
finishing
yes,
up with
sir.
Iran. Where are we now? What's happening now? So Patrick Claussen says, you know, the traditional way America gets to war would be good. Wes Clark, you know, here's a memo, the Wolfowitz Doctrine, the Yanan Plan, Greater Israel, all that stuff. Does Iran have a plan to remake America in its image? Anyway, the last entry, this is one that you have not heard, I dare say, but it's a good one. And so Patrick Bet David said, I think he said it as well as it can be said. You know, again, the more conflict in the Middle East, the more control. It was a about a 30-minute. Let me see. Yeah, just over 30 minutes. We're going to play a few minutes of this real quick, and this will be it. History of U.S.-Iran Conflict Explained, and it was September 17th, 2019 that he put it out, his Valuetainment channel. So I think, you know, from one of the fish, you know, don't ask the fish about water, but I'll tell you what, this fish is pretty astute. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
We're going to stop, Pat, and my answer is I don't think it's going to ever stop. Why? Here's why. The more conflicts in the Middle East, the more control. Who? U.S., U.K., the bigger empires. The more conflict in the Middle East, the more control. The less conflict, the more powerful they're becoming. Iran, from 63 to 78, they were growing steadily. They became a superpower in the Middle East. Everything was at peace. They're creating their own oil. They're creating their own commerce. They're creating their own military. Hey, why is Iran getting a little too powerful? We can't let that happen. Hey, coup. Give another coup. Here's a formula for a coup. Do another one. Do another one. Do another one. And typically, coups are caused by the following formula. Not all the time, but many times, this is how it takes place. When a Republican president is a president in the U.S., and somebody who's running Iran is pro-Israel, pro-business, pro-America, it's peace. No issues, okay? Eisenhower, Shah, Nixon, Shah, Ford, Shah, no issues. We're good to go. When a Democratic president is president of the United States, and in Iran, they somewhat have a little bit of conflict with Israel, they're not fully pro-business, they're not fully pro-U.S., there's no conflict. But when a Democratic president is in U.S. as a Democrat, and Iran is being led by somebody who is pro-Israel, pro-U.S., pro-Western, pro-capitalism, then there could be possible war. And then when there's a Republican president and it's the complete opposite, it's also possible war. Now, this war is not a war. Let's go, you know, jets, fly and bomb. No, war could be a, you know, right now, Iran's calling this an economic terrorism. Okay? Hey, they're hurting us economically is what they're saying. This is economic terrorism. Doesn't necessarily have to. Because sanctions, I can't make money. If I can make money and China, India, all these countries are no longer buying from me, what am I going to do now? And this is why I put Venezuela, because Iran and Venezuela are facing similar problems. Sanctions, sanctions. This is why Iran and Venezuela, they get along, because they understand each other. And they say, we understand your pain. U.S. is kind of bullying you. You're also an oil country. You used to be one of the richest. Look at the sanctions. And Iran says, yeah, us too. Yeah, so there's a little bit of that going on there that they get along with. And Saudi Arabia doesn't want to see Iran be up there. Why? Because they want to compete in the oil and they want to have a monopoly there. They want to compete in that marketplace, right? And obviously, last but not least, Israel is not a fan of Iran. Because, you know, the whole thing, again, an enemy of an enemy is a friend. So all of those things taking place. So last but not least, this bullying thing that's taking place with superpowers. Very simple formula to bully a country like Iran. Very simple formula. Number one is create sanctions with strong requests. Strong sanctions. Very strong sanctions. You tie them up. Now, I was in, I was at Cannes, France. I was staying at Monaco and I went to Cannes. And I'm in the beach and I'm talking to, I can't say the name, but I can just tell you, a very high profile political leader in the Middle East that is running 21 countries financially. I that's all I can tell you who this person is. And we're having an hour and a half conversation together. And he tells me, he says, look, I have a lot of allies in Iran. I got a lot of friends in Iran. He says, but I'm from one of the countries in the Middle East. He says, Pat, I can't do nothing with them. We had to cut every business ties, everything, lending, everything because of what U.S. said. Because if we're on the bad side of U.S., then a lot of the relationships we have to go through U.S. because everybody wants to be good with the U.S. So the moment they had the sanctions, Iran felt it immediately. Immediately. Number two, formula to bully, is befriend and support their number one enemy. So what happens? Carter leaves, Khomeini's in Iran, U.S. supports who? U.S. supports Iraq. Saddam Hussein. Why? Because remember, the president, the ruler of Iran, Khomeini at that time, was anti-U.S., anti-Israel, and the president of U.S. at that time was Reagan, pro-U.S. Hey, this is happening? No problem. We're going to befriend your who? We're going to befriend your enemy, which is Saddam Hussein. And 1.5 million people get killed. So that's the part about befriending the enemy. Number three, infiltrate the nation with opposition. Internally, send people internally to create opposition internally. And last but not least, a very simple formula that's used for a long, very, very long time. Create an internal division. When you create an internal division, it's very simple. They did it with the Shah. Pin the people against the Shah. For what? Everybody's creating jobs. People are making money. Why? If you ever go study different revolutions, the one thing that you'll notice about the Iranian revolution against all the other revolutions, French revolution, all the other revolutions, there's four things all the revolutions have in common. None of those four were happening in Iran. None of them with the Shah. Why did it take place? The word spreading this campaign message has so much influence. And again, it started with Carter, UK, US, CIA, MI6, US, UK again. Let's divide Iran. And this is the formula that what history tells us. So, look, in closing, I want to share my final thoughts.
I think he did a fantastic job. You know, Patrick Bet-David, born and raised in Iran, I would say an astute fish. He, is just observing the stuff, you know, the little pieces that we've scattered around today that have been there. And how many Americans have listened to what Patrick Claussen said and understand it? I think that would change everything. Anyway, I would encourage folks to watch the entirety of that video, History of U.S.-Iran Conflict Explained, Valuetainment Channel, Patrick Bet-David. I was impressed. I thought he did a fantastic job. Lots and lots of information, you know. Lots of information, that's an understatement. In a very compact 30 minutes worth of time. Speaking of time, we're running out of it. Back to the phones. Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Glenn.
You're doing that speaker thing again. Oh, yeah. Okay, I can work on that. Give me 2 seconds. Sometimes people complain, sometimes they don't. Like, they can put a man on the moon, or at least they tend to. Can't they make a Bluetooth headset that works well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a digital voicemail that lasts longer or can store more than 20 messages. You remember the old micro cassette tapes? We could store, months worth of voicemails.
Right. Not anymore. It's all so manipulated. All right, so that, now I'm on the phone itself. I wanted to address the iPhone thing, the thing about the iPhone and the microprocessor. Mm-hmm. And, just to make the point that the motivations of an originator, developer of a technology are not necessarily a reflection on, the morals or choices of subsequent users who use that technology for something else. If Cain killed Abel with a stone, and I use stones to build the wall of my house, that doesn't make my use of stones evil.
Right. And I've addressed that a variety of ways. It's true, but then I think there's a point where you come to a sort of crisis of conscience.
Well, I don't know. It depends. It actually depends. I mean, this type of stuff is, if you look at, the research by Mengele, on prisoners in World War II, prisoner research. And obviously this is horrible, defeat them, get rid of evil mad scientists and stuff. But then you still have left behind the data that was accumulated and the information. So the question is, can that information, should that be sequestered because it was acquired in an evil manner, or should, can it be somewhat redeemed by being turned towards a noble purpose, medicine developments or something like that, or the origin of things. We have the U.S. Interstate Highway System, the largest engineering project ever undertaken by man. Originally designed for military transport, which is almost all civilian in terms of the transport it does. All sorts of things like this. The internet, designed for military purposes, still now being used for civilian purposes. So, but something can have the motivation of someone developing something can be reprehensible, but subsequent people can turn those things to good uses. That's just what I was thinking, about that. But that's not to say that the cell phone is necessarily a good use of something, because somebody might say it is very much an instrument of warfare, even today in your pocket.
Yeah. That's definitely, it's an interesting conversation. I mean, I want to be idealistic, but there's a, practical reality to things, and I don't know.
Wait a minute. Well, what's wrong with that? I don't know. That seems like a self-flattering notion. It's like, my way is more practical. I'm not sure it is. I mean, what better thing to do than to take something that was used for evil and turn it you know, turn it to something good. A classic example, beating swords into plowshares. It's analogous to beating swords into plowshares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but
leavening the world for Christ is kind of the way I think of it when that context arises. Yeah, definitely. It's difficult, though, because doesn't it feel like that's just sort of a peripheral or a serendipitous kind of thing? And the bigger point, though, is that this machinery grinds on. Every once in a while, the Afghanistan papers was a joke, like folks like James Corbett point out, but a big psyop, basically. But the Panama Papers, that's a different story, you know. So you get a window into, holy cow, millions of pages worth of documentation of laundering and all kinds of stuff. That, to me, is the magnitude of the thing we're talking about. And, stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life, to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Yeah, again, it's sort of the, you know, the incremental march toward hegemonic dominance and, you know, oligopoly and, you know, all of that stuff. And war just seems to lend itself to that feudalist, you know, feudalist totalism, cybernetic totalism. I mean, it's that thing, you know, part of what Patrick Bet-David talks about is it begets more of like and more of same. You know, we have to, so if you can keep playing people groups off of each other, then you can keep ratcheting up this national security state. And whether or not they realize that the tools they're making and all of the things they're doing really lend themselves to that, is sort of, it becomes irrelevant at some point, doesn't it?
No, because then I believe that, you know, each thing can be separated out into its own context. You know, if somebody hijacks a truck hauling water during wartime and uses it, you know, for good purposes, it's not like, oh, I don't want to drink that water because it came from the military, you know, the military.
Well, maybe that would be a... Yeah, that would be a good mindset, because when we have all efforts lending themselves, you know, like every effort is putting a shoulder to the wheel of tyranny, then maybe we should stop supporting those things.
Well, I'm not sure. You could say the same thing about television. I'm not sure boycotting television would have saved us from Vietnam occurring, or, you know, I don't see it that way.
I don't know. If you believe guys like Marshall McLuhan, there might be something to that.
You must end up with a radical separatist. I mean, this is where, you know, religious groups do that, you know, and they become separatists, yeah, or the Amish or whatever, you know.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of peaceful, what appeared to me peaceful, joyful people walking around in nature, very modestly dressed, and I would call them separatists in the context that you're talking about.
depends on what they're doing when they're not in Yellowstone or whatever, you know, or when they're not.
Yeah, you know. I'm pretty sure they're not raping women and children, as some folks have suggested. Not, you know, anyway, not as a rule. Anyway, yeah.
Gotcha. That'll, you have a break. That's it.
We're done for the day. That's it. Independent voices that counter this hope it was informative, folks. That'll do it for today. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other
independent
side.
Independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.